ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Sunday morning, episode 402 of Top Rope Nation, here to talk AEW Full Gear, all the big news coming out of Newark, New Jersey last night, most notably the surprise return of Swerve Strickland, and we got plenty, and we got a new champion, obviously, Samoa Joe, going to talk all of that. Justin Joint, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Anybody watching the video can see I have a new temporary background, and that is because the wife is out of town, and so I took my boys to my dad's house, so I have the house all to myself. So if coming out of the show the question was whose house, it's my house.
Yeah, it looks like a totally different location, but he's still there, he's still in his headquarters. Jesse, how are you doing this morning?
I'm okay. I'm tired. That first sip of coffee that we all took, that was my first sip of the day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I was heavily ADHD last night, so I apologize in advance because I was honestly more worried about getting people into our Discord than I was about Full Gear at times.
I was too. It was odd because I was like, you know, doing so many things at the same time, trying to invite people, trying to keep up the tabs on the Discord. The Discord is going very well though, you guys. So if you'd like to get on the Discord, I'm going to put something on the screen right now. I'm going to hold on. I think I made this correctly. I got so many windows open again. Okay. Look at the top right of the screen right there. That's how you can get in our Discord if you're on the video. So head on over to topropenation.com/Discord, and that will put you through and join up. Got a good group of people. We just started less than 48 hours ago. I think there's 40 some people in it right now. So going pretty well so far. And yeah, lively bunch last night talking AEW Full Gear. I think we'll start out with our grades. So I'll throw it to Justin first. A through F, what did you think of Full Gear last night?
I mean, an incredibly eventful show. Legit, for me, damn near almost six matches that would be hovering around that four-star range. I don't think there was necessarily a match of the year candidate, which I know the three of us kind of like to use that as a parameter for getting into that A range. But I mean, to have six matches in the four-star range with all the news coming out of the show, all the title changes, it feels like an incredibly significant show. I can't go any lower than an A minus.
All right. Jesse, you?
Okay, so I have to be contrarian to one of you. Okay.
All right.
We're going to be one of us is going to be the same. Do I go with what I thought about last night, or do I change it just because, in spite of all of the nitpicking that I'm probably going to make at some point in time, I'm going to go A minus two. And the reasoning being was exactly what Justin said. I mean, I think if you were to reorder some of this match card, I probably would have thrown this at an A, to be honest, in spite of the fact there was a couple of things I did not like, but I can't completely poo-poo this show as a whole for a couple little things. A minus.
All right. So if our patrons have listened to it yet, I did the BR show last night, and the audio dropped for our patrons last night at, I don't know, 12:30 Central, something like that. TRN Extra. So some of you have maybe already heard my thoughts on this show, but I had so much running through my mind that I was like, you know, I'm going to jump on the show with the guys this morning because, you know, sometimes if I do the BR show, I don't do the next day because I'm kind of doubling up. But today I wanted to because this is a pretty noteworthy show, and I gave it a B plus on the show last night on BR, and it was mostly due to the match layout. I felt like there were some lulls from the crowd that I thought that they could fix. I'm right there with you guys, like B plus, A minus kind of on this show. Yeah, the match layout, there was two different stretches in the show where I was kind of stunned that they laid it out that way. I'll just say it here for the main view listeners. You know, the two bloodbaths back to back, I was kind of shocked that Tony mm-hmm. would lay them out that way. You know, because it kind of, you get O'Reilly and Moxley just bathed in blood, like I said, and then you follow that up with Fletcher and Briscoe. So you got those two back to back, and then the crowd was really gassed. And even, you know, for that six man with the Bucks and Alexander against Omega and Jurassic Express, they're pretty quiet. And, you know, this is a Kenny Omega match. He doesn't work that much anymore. And he was working hard. I thought Kenny was looked really good out there before the injury angle, at least. He was moving around really quickly, kind of looked like the old Kenny Omega. And then his selling was outstanding in that match. But the crowd really wasn't with him. And then you got to Statlander and Mercedes, and the crowd was really dead, really, really dead for that match. Huge match. And the story of that match was that Statlander had supposedly injured her arm, you know. And so, like, they did that right after they did the Kenny Omega, like, almost match-long injury with his foot where he jumped to the outside and act like he twisted his leg. And he was selling that throughout the whole leg. So those two matches are somewhat similar in one of the top people on the six man, and then obviously the champion and Statlander, they're both doing like injury angles throughout the whole match. So I thought that was kind of odd that those were laid out together. I think definitely she had one or two matches between the Briscoe Fletcher match and O'Reilly Moxley. And that took away from it a little bit for me, because, you know, we were even in the Discord talking about the crowd, and, you know, these AEW shows are always really long. So that's not really an excuse to be out of it. And most of these crowds, they go to these 4.5 hour pay-per-views, they're jacked throughout, and there was definitely a lull in Newark. And I certainly, on our Twitter page, I attacked the crowd in Newark and said, you got to do better. Maybe we're done with, this is the third pay-per-view in Newark, New Jersey. Go ahead.
I mean, we're going to we always have, you know, beaten this over the head about the length of AEW shows, and it's not the length, it's how late they go. I mean, yeah, just the difference here in the Central Zone, if it had ended at 10:30 instead of 11:30, it doesn't seem like much to a lot of people, but it is to us old dads. That makes a pretty huge difference, getting to bed at 11 or getting to bed at midnight.
Yeah, there was people talking about in our group last night that, you know, they are in the routine of watching the last three matches in the morning. Jesse mentioned that as well. I'd prefer to do that if I wasn't watching or doing the BR stuff immediately afterwards. That's probably the better way to go. Yeah, when they start in the afternoon, it's much better. Tony did mention this. It came up in the press scrum, and he said that he probably wouldn't do a very late Sunday night show again, on the East Coast at least, because they've done this where on the Sunday pay-per-views of school the next day, they run past midnight. You know, this was a Saturday show, they ran past midnight. But he also said, which I thought was interesting, that their pay-per-views are contracted to go at least 3 hours and 45 minutes. So they have to be that long. And I did not know that. That came out in the scrum last night.
I'm glad that he said that. Yeah. I had so much caffeine throughout the day yesterday because I mentally was preparing to possibly host this morning. So I was like, I need to be really on. So by the time I think the Omega match came on, I go, oh man, I'm like, what do I do? Do I eat? If I eat, I might fall asleep. So I was literally just sipping water, just trying to concentrate. And then with everything else that was going on, it just became a little bit difficult. And like Justin nailed it. It's the old dad in me. Shoot job wise, I'm up at 4 a.m, like 3 days a week. And this just completely throws me off.
I don't know how you do that. It's crazy. Much respect.
It's easy now. I mean, it is easy now. I mean, I just wish that, I mean, just for my son's purposes, that I could actually get up a little bit later and work, but fortunately I can't.
Well, speaking of that, we didn't even do what's in the glass this morning. Jesse, why don't you show off that beautiful mug you got, Jesse? Let me maximize the screen here.
Oh
yeah. Top Rope Nation Unplugged. Love to see it.
Really good light roast coffee from Mexico.
Justin, you got anything?
Yep. My old Go Blue mug, Michigan. It was my grandma's. Is it Starbucks? Is it Verona? One of their dark roasts that normally I don't spend the money on Starbucks, but it was on sale. So yeah. What the heck? Treating myself.
Nice. I've got a Nespresso. It's one of their boosted ones. It's pretty good. Extra caffeine this morning, but I got it in my... You can see my Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade 1994.
That's awesome.
WWF New Generation mug,
that
which
is sweet.
Yeah. Fantastic. I use this almost every day.
I thought about breaking out my Edina Hornets coffee mug that was given to me from a client because they won their first state football championship in 47 years on Friday night. I was at the game too.
Very nice. Very nice. Is that at US Bank?
It was.
Cool. Nice. Still have not been there. Someday. Beautiful, beautiful stadium. That whenever the Chicago Bears get their new stadium built, that should be the model. That is one of the coolest looking stadiums out there, for sure.
One important thing before you get started, shout out those two new patrons.
Yes. That's where I was headed next. We got two new patrons already from the Discord and wanted to shout them out. So Kevin Toms, appreciate you signing up for your 7-day free trial, and hopefully you enjoy what you are hearing and you stick around. We appreciate that. And then Eric Napier, who I believe is a Minnesotan, Jesse, you said?
That is correct. Met him at the Dynamite in November of 23.
Very nice. So appreciate Eric signing up. Your names are all scrolling across the bottom of the video feed right now. So if you're on the podcast feed, you're not realizing this, but on video, we always put the names of all of our patrons across the bottom. So if you want to get your name added to that scroll, sign up patreon.com/toprobenation. There are over 230 bonus shows. The minute you sign up, a new bonus show each and every week. We just put out one on Halloween Havoc 89 for TRN Classics. And in the weeks ahead, WCW Clash of the Champions, number 17, Justin Joint. Are you excited?
I am. I wish it would have won in a landslide vote, but that was not the case. But I'm happy it won nonetheless. This is an incredibly, incredibly important show for me that probably played a major part in me being a lifelong professional wrestling fan.
Yeah, we have a vote for patrons every month to determine our classic show. And Justin was really, really pulling for that one. And it won. So we'll be going back to November 1991 here in the next couple of weeks and getting that out for our patrons. Jesse's got TRN Unplugs dropping every single week. And like I mentioned, TRN Extra went up last night for patrons, which was my immediate thoughts on Full Gear. But let's talk about our thoughts now that it's had a chance to marinate a little bit. We got Swerve Strickland coming back. This dude was absolutely jacked. He looked like Hunter in the Garden back in 2002 when he walked out there. New theme song. Should mention, of course, you know, he came out at the conclusion of the match. So Hangman Page lost the title to Samoa Joe. It was a kind of an odd match. They bled. It was only 14 minutes long. There was interference spots, of course, from the ops. We thought maybe if you thought Swerve was coming back, you might have thought he's going to come out and save him so he retains the title. That did not happen. There was the title change after the Muscle Buster. And then that was the finish, wasn't it? Muscle Buster?
Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, there's this beat down spot. Hook comes out. Hook Joint is with the ops. And all of a sudden, the lights go out. And the presentation of this was so cool. So up, it was like his house on flames. So then you're thinking in your mind, oh, my God, is he going to turn on Hangman? You know, because they're reminding you about the house going up in flames. And then Nana's out there. And it's a totally new theme song. So then you're wondering, is he heel? They're changing the whole presentation. And he slowly makes his way to the ring. And they kind of sell with the camera work. There was a great shot of Hangman laying on the mat, close up, right in front of you with his bloody face. And then Swerve getting in the ring on the opposite side. And he's staring him down. And you think, oh, maybe he's going to attack Hangman too. But then he ends up attacking the ops. And he just fights off everybody. And Joe ends up walking up the ramp with the belt, looking stunned, of course, and Hangman and Swerve are standing there in the ring next to each other, assumingly ready to team up against the ops. So, I mean, a lot to discuss here. The return of Swerve, Hangman dropping the title, which we've actually said this on the show for a couple of weeks. If you guys have been listening, I know I brought it up. I want to give Jay credit because I think he put this in my mind initially, that, you know, maybe they do move the title to Joe and it's a short title run because they have been kind of light at the top of the card, maybe to shake things up a little bit, you know, bring your interest in. So we told you this could happen. I don't think almost anybody thought this title would change hands. In fact, the Fightful Select report last night said that they had been told that Hangman Page almost certainly was going to retain the title. So anyone reading Fightful Select was probably shocked too. But, you know, we said this might be a possibility and it happened. Justin, I threw a lot out there. Thoughts in general on the main event, Swerve's return. The floor is yours.
You know, talking about our grades for this show, if you had asked me last night, immediately after the show, I probably would have given it a lower grade just because I was pretty down on Samoa Joe winning. And that's coming from someone who loves Samoa Joe. And it's mostly just because, you know, last spring we would often talk about, you know, who should dethrone Mox for the world title. And then that would eventually lead into a discussion about like plotting out the next couple years of who would be your AEW world champions. And a name that never came up was Samoa Joe. And so in my mind, it was just like, man, they just have so many other guys I would have rather seen with the world title than, you know, two-time AEW world champion Samoa Joe. It's just a little weird to me. But, you know, the more I thought about it, you know, you're 100% right that I think the main event scene needed to be shaken up a little bit. Not necessarily because Hangman's reign is stale. But to your point, we've brought this up before, is that they just didn't have a whole lot for him in the ways of opponents after he won. So I don't mind in that regards. I do hope it is a short reign for Joe. But you know, it's the main thing with these pay-per-views is, does it make you want to tune in for the next show? And this 100% made me want to tune in to Dynamite on Wednesday.
Jesse.
I'm wearing my t-shirt in support of him. I'm a big Joe guy. I was just like Justin, though, last night, very disappointed, way more disappointed in, I'll use this. This is the only reference I'm going to use that other promotion. This would be like JD McDonagh coming into the ring, clocking CM Punk and giving Dominic Mysterio his first world championship win with Hook turning and joining the ops. It was just that bad for me. Absolutely despised it. He has the definition of X-Pac heat in terms of like, just get off of my television. I'm a Taz Mark, but your kid, he just hasn't done anything. He hasn't grown in the last 5 years. Yeah. I think in terms though of the main event scene, it does make sense because this is a very heel devoided top of the card, in spite of the fact that there were a couple of results last night that you could have thrown a couple of contenders Hangman's way and kept this reign going. I personally would much rather have Hangman go until AEW Revolution myself, but heavily distracted by a child. With AEW Revolution again coming around the corner in the next 5 months, I think there were still some notable challengers that you could have thrown his way. But I think from a television perspective, this is a solid way to go.
Did you hear my youngest make her appearance? That's her debut on the podcast right there. A little high out the door. Nice. It's my youngest. She's never been on the show. No, I 100% agree with you on Hook. I mean, he's a guy, I said this on Extra last night, I think he's someone that needs to go to WWE. I think he could really benefit from that system over there. And actually, he's one that you should throw in NXT right away and get those reps. I think that if he's going to stay the course, which I'm sure he is, that would be the direction for him. I don't see it in him at all. You know, it was kind of exciting when he started. Mm-hmm. I haven't been interested in anything he's been doing for 3 years. And so, yeah, for him in that spot, I agree with you, Jesse. That was not the greatest. Not the greatest at all.
He doesn't work indies. There's still a decent chunk of AEW performers that work indies and get better. Like, look at Megan Bain, for example. That woman's traveling the world each week to get better, and it's showing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why aren't more of these talents doing this? Because there's one in particular who's looking to be a free agent in the next couple of months that's only done one tour of Japan, and that's it over the course of 5 years. And look how much that person has grown since then. It was just for that little minimal snapshot, and then it's just out the window.
I'm talking about Anna Jay.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And when she went over there, you noticed the difference immediately. So why would you keep doing it? I don't know, man. I don't get it. But yeah. Yeah, I think to Justin's point, the one thing that we have been talking about on our text threads, just us, but also on the shows, is that AEW has been putting on fantastic wrestling, but the storyline reason to tune in maybe hasn't been great. And we've given them, you know, a bit of a pass because they've been missing so many top guys right now. And I'll be totally honest with you. I've been watching Dynamite sometimes 48, 72 hours later. It's not an immediate thing, and I slowly kind of work my way through it throughout the rest of the week. Part of the reason for that is I'm doing the Bears podcast on Wednesday nights too, so it's on at the same time. But I haven't felt like the draw to like really pulling me to tune in. I know when I watch, it's going to be a really good show, but there hasn't been something really pulling me that way. And now, to Justin's point, there is. I'm really interested on what's going to happen with Swerve in the title picture, you know, and everything happening here on Wednesday night. So Jesse's screen just went out. I don't know if Swerve's going to make an appearance. His camera just went black. Oh my God.
He just took over. Mm-hmm.
But what did you guys think of the new presentation? Cause I, you know, Swerve is one of those guys with the iconic theme song with the dance and everything, but I really liked it.
Yeah,
I thought that theme is awesome. And I like the freshening up of his presentation. You too, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially the same. They kept the important part, you know, the call and response. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I dug it for what little of it I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, definite big fan of the presentation. He's been off for 3 months. It was Forbidden Door was his last appearance.
Yeah.
I think he was, yeah, I was under the impression it might not be till World's End. So it is definitely a needed shot in the arm. And I want to get back to our world champion and give him the kudos for wrestling a match with a ginormous gash right in the center of his forehead. I mean, that thing looked deep.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you recall this, Jesse, but months and months, maybe even like a year ago, I think in our text message thread, I just happened to ask, like, has Joe ever bled? Like, it just seems like you never see him get bloody in matches. And boy, he really made up for that comment, because I think they're changing the name of the Muda scale to the Joe scale now.
Joe, are you out there listening? Did you want to prove Justin wrong? I can bleed. Watch this.
Man, it was to the point that it was actually kind of, you know, I think more than you guys, I'm a pro the gore and violence in professional wrestling, but it was even pretty distracting to me. That's a match I'm going to have to rewatch to really get a feel for it, because I was kind of grossed out a little bit.
I'm telling you, man, if Phil Schneider puts out another Wave of the Blade book, half the book's going to be the show.
Speaking of which, God, who was it? I think it was Tape Machines on Blue Sky mentioned that, you know, one of his favorite shows of all time was Starrcade 85, which was a pretty bloody show with multiple matches. So it kind of feels like a spiritual successor to that, which is not a bad thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look at Great American Bash 86 we covered in July and all the bleeding that took place in that show.
Yeah.
And it felt warranted too. It didn't feel like just blood for blood's sake. Like every match that it appeared in, it made sense, because these are, you know, brutal feuds that are going on. So I was especially like, I might be more pro than other people. It's probably my second favorite match on the card was Mox and Kyle O'Reilly. I thought that was just fantastic.
Yeah. Anything else in the main event? Because I'm going to ask you guys a question. It's probably going to turn our conversation a little bit.
I'm good.
Yeah, just heavily interested.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So what was your match of the night? Because we might differ on this. Justin, your match of the night. You just said your second favorite.
Yeah, my second favorite would be Mox and Kyle O'Reilly. My third would be Fletcher and Briscoe, and number one is the tag match.
Yes.
I mean, you guys know I'm a sucker for tag team wrestling, and I don't think it's even a question that FTR is the best tag team in the world, and they've cemented themselves as one of the best tag teams ever. It hurt me to watch that because I'm such a Brodito fan, but the match was absolutely incredible. I'm a little worried that the only reason for the title change is to get the tag titles on Cope and Christian in the year of our Lord 2026. I don't know if that's the greatest of ideas, considering some of the other awesome tag teams. But yeah, tag team match was it for me.
I think that's one of those Tony Khan, you know, wrestling nerd like all of us kind of things, once edging Christian on his lineage of tag team titles. You know, I think it'll be
not a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I started smiling when you're talking about FTR. You'll enjoy this, Justin. So my oldest child, every time she comes in the room and FTR is on the TV, almost every time without a beat, she looks at the TV and she says, Justin really likes them. Almost every time.
I think it was the Wrestle Dream sale on AEW. I bought three shirts Tony Storm, Brodito, and FTR.
Yeah. I might be buying something tonight. We'll see, because they got this 25% off going. We're going to have a Top Rope Nation sale, by the way, this week on our store. So if you want to get some TRN gear, we got a lot of it. I might even drop a couple new designs in time for the sale. There's going to be a sale this week. So stay tuned to, if you go to topropenation.com, you can go to our merch store. When the sale hits, it'll be in the banner at the top of the store. You'll want to check this out. It'll be a big time sale. Might even do a Patreon bonus. We'll see. We'll see if I can get a sale on our Patreon. Get a few people to sign up. So yeah, Jesse, your match of the night.
There's two matches I want to go back and watch because they would definitely be up there. That's Briscoe Fletcher. I think I devalued it a little more in the moment because it followed O'Reilly and Moxley. Statlander and Mercedes, I definitely need to go back and watch that because the crowd took me out of it and how quiet that it was. So I will eliminate those two for now from this discussion. Oh, Pac and Darby Allin tugged at my effing heartstrings so much. Like, that is the wrestling that I love. So I'm putting that at 1B because the tag match ruled. That's 1A. I can't dispute that. Those four are so good. My only concern now with Brodito, and it's half concern, half joyous occasion, is both of those guys get thrown into the C2, and this thing is the greatest C2 so far in the last 3 years. Because I want them to stay together.
Yeah. Yeah, no. My match of the night for sure is the tag team match too. Loved every second of it. They had me biting on all those near falls at the end. Bandito was terrific in the near falls. I thought, you know, Brody, obviously the hard-hitting stuff was outstanding throughout. Yeah, that was my match of the night. I'm looking at cage match right now and how people have voted. Briscoe Fletcher is the top one as of now, but it's got like a 9.12, and then the tag is an 8.81. So it's pretty close. But yeah, that would be my number one, no question. I knew when the show went off the air last night, that was my number one. I'd probably go Briscoe Fletcher next. And then probably O'Reilly Moxley. Yeah, I mean, I liked the women's match too. The crowd definitely hurt it for me a bit. Yeah. I'll have to rewatch some of this before I put our star ratings on Patreon. But yeah, I thought that was a really good one too. I mean, there was some question going into the women's match who would win. I thought all along Statlander would win. And then when she came out and they had her coming out of a crashed spacecraft, I thought immediately, there's no way. You can't do that and have her lose. So I think that was the right decision.
Yeah.
Jesse, you've been talking, this might have been on Discord, I can't remember. You've been talking about how you thought this might begin her kind of slow slide to starting to lose some of these belts. But obviously you think probably the right decision there, Jesse.
I do. Absolutely. I think there's a couple of people that were pretty confused about wondering if Mercedes was actually going to win this and continue the streak. And I was like, I think this is the start of the downfall for her. Right decision. This really cements Chris Statlander as your it woman right now. And rightfully so. I mean, this match was fantastic as well. So like I said, it's one of those where maybe in the empty arena crowd, that might've been like dang near match of the night, like back in COVID days. Yeah. But yeah, because they did minimal until Mercedes hit the amount of suplexes that she has for championship belts, 14. Pretty cool.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they transition to feud, you know, with these two moving forward. I mean, I think you got like Willow and Athena out there as obvious, you know, answers where you could have maybe Willow defeat Mercedes down the line. And maybe it's Athena against Statlander. I don't know. We'll see. That's another reason to tune in, though. I don't really know where they're headed in the women's division, but they got some exciting names out there that are coming up the card. So
yeah, that's exactly the reason why, you know, this was the right result, because it's more interesting than the alternative, than Mercedes just having another belt. It just wouldn't mean as much. This really, I agree with Jesse, this cements Statlander a lot stronger as your women's world champ. And yeah, this is just far more interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Justin, some thoughts on, did we lose Jesse? Yeah, let's just us two right now. We'll get him back. His camera's bugging out a little bit. Some thoughts on Kyle O'Reilly in that Moxley match. So Moxley is going through, you know, this period right now where he's losing more than he has in quite some time. And Kyle O'Reilly is a guy who we've all always been fans of, as far as like, he's a really great technician in the ring. I've always liked him for a personal reason. He's type 1 diabetic like I am, and I think it's awesome that he's able to wrestle, you know, with type 1 diabetes and manage his blood sugars and all of that. So I've always kind of had a soft spot for Kyle O'Reilly, but there's no question that he hasn't been like a serious figure on AEW TV for the last few years. He's been doing some of the comedy stuff where he does these facial reactions backstage, kind of off to the side based on what everyone else is saying and not really him. And now, you know, you're trying to build him back up as a serious threat. I mean, he beat John Moxley in this no holds barred, really, really bloody match. And, you know, some people were questioning that, like, oh, Kyle O'Reilly's like a comedy figure now. But no, I think, you know, you got to have him win this match. He beat Moxley a few weeks ago, about a month ago, actually. You want to really put him over as a threat moving forward. You got to have him win this match if you're going to start building him back up. I think he is somebody that you could recover and make him a serious threat. What do you think, Justin?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's always been a believable ass kicker when it comes to in-ring. And I think the maybe lack of crowd response last night is just because, to your point, he's either been injured or a mid-card goofball for a long time. And that's gonna take a lot longer than just a few weeks to remedy. But I certainly think they can. And there is a history of him getting to the, or at least close to the main event scene of everywhere he's gone. You know, it's like he got to the top of Ring of Honor, but it was right when he was, you know, leaving to go to NXT, and he was a big deal in NXT. It was just, he was probably overshadowed by Adam Cole a bit there, but yeah, absolutely. They can do something with him. It's just going to take a little bit more time.
Yeah. Jesse, your thoughts on, we got Jesse back. Your thoughts on Kyle O'Reilly.
I might be the biggest fan of O'Reilly in this group, quite possibly. Cause like Justin said, I mean, I've seen it on like internet lore everywhere where, a couple people I really trusted said that like 2014, 2015, he was the best North American wrestler in the world. I mean, North American wrestler. He was just that good. And I know he has charisma. Like when he plays that air guitar and he can cut a promo too. I mean, you can get invested in this guy pretty quick. And then you watch him in the ring and he's trained in jiu-jitsu and MMA. Like the guy can work. It's a perfect style for AEW. I'm impressed by the fact that Jon Moxley's like, I want to put this guy over. That's pretty incredible. Now it's up to Tony Khan to do this. Where do you go with a guy like this? If I recall hearing this, is that Tony Khan said that he's not medically cleared to work the C2. So what does that mean for Kyle O'Reilly moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know. I did hear that. I did see that headline that he was probably not going to be medically cleared. But
wait, who? Kyle O'Reilly won't be?
I think in story terms, Kyle O'Reilly, yes,
got you. Okay.
Is not medically cleared to work the C2.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said that in the press scrum last night.
Damn. Well,
I mean, the C2 is shaping up to be a hell of a tournament, though. My God. I'm not that interested in the Callis family, but when they did that backstage segment with, you know, Fletcher and Okada and Takeshita, and all three are going to be in the C2. All right. I'm in.
Yep.
This is going to be outstanding. So.
I love the C2. I just wish they gave it one week to breathe. Instead of starting it this Wednesday, use this Wednesday to announce the participants to make it feel a little bit bigger than just going straight into it after a pay-per-view. That's my only issue. That's a minor complaint. But, yeah, I'm stoked for the C2. Last year's was awesome.
Yeah. another guy that got a big win last night, we've talked a lot about on the show, where he's been having these terrific matches now the last couple of years as a single, but, you know, not really winning the big one. Every time he'd get to the big match, he wouldn't win, and that's Mark Briscoe. And obviously, he's been a singles champion. He's been the ROH world champion last year, but never had a singles title in AEW. And Briscoe defeating Kyle Fletcher in what we said is probably a top two or three match last night. I'd have it probably my number two. Also the correct decision. I think they're, what, 3-3 now versus each other? And I think, yeah, you just had to put this title on Briscoe. He's come up short so many times. Fletcher's a guy who, he's ready for the world title scene, to the our points of having all this curiosity of where they could go in that direction. He's another guy that could factor into that in the next several months. So I was happy to see Briscoe win the title. I had no question going in he was going to win. That was an easy pick, I thought. And, you know, I'll throw it to Jesse first here. Your take on Mark.
Yeah, Kyle Fletcher, in a good way, is above the TNT championship. He's one of those examples to where I said if Hangman had retained last night, Fletcher's probably the next guy at World's End. And you maybe make that decision. Do you crown him then? But instead, they're going to throw him in the C2 and perfectly fine with that. Yeah, Briscoe is a very well-respected veteran. That video package in the beginning got me.
Ooh, yeah.
Tremendous stuff there. I wish that match had ended on that froggy bow off of the table or through the table. That match should have been over right there. So I wish that that barbed wire table had came out and you'd put him through it and called it a three count. I don't think the match needed to go any longer than that. Those two killed it. Fletcher sold his ass off, and that guy is a legitimate. He's the next thing, if he's not already the thing now. So kudos to Mark, though. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yep. I will say this was going to be a win-win scenario for me, just because I was a little curious how Mark Briscoe could fit into the Don Callis family. I think that actually could have been pretty entertaining, and, you know, maybe they can go back to that at some point. But yeah, I mean, this was nothing but a feel-good moment for somebody who's been through the ringer and totally deserved this moment.
Yeah. Well said. I can't say I was super excited about this national title when they revealed it, because, you know, a lot said about, yeah, you know where I'm going.
Yep.
a lot said here about, you know, AEW too many titles, WWE too many titles. It's a problem across the industry. Don't get me wrong. It's not just AEW. But then Tony Khan, you bastard, you get this title belt made that is nearly identical to the old NWA TV title.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully in now. That was, yep. Jesus, what a beautiful belt. And
gorgeous.
God, it looks so good. I'll look for a screenshot to put on the screen here in a second. But Jesse, your guy, I mean, you said right from the beginning it's going to be Ricochet. He makes the most sense. This is a title you're going to defend across multiple promotions. You know, we've already heard that CMLL wants him to work down there. New Japan wants him to work over there. Those are going to be must watch matches, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this on TRN Extra last night. It makes sense for it to be a heel holding the title, because if you go into another promotion, you're inherently supposed to be a heel. You know, it's like you're going in there from a totally different company defending their title. That's kind of a heel spot. So I thought Ricochet was a no-brainer. Some people thought maybe Lashley would have a shot going in, but Ricochet won. Right decision. You know, as far as the Casino Gauntlet, it was fine. I'm not a huge fan of those matches typically. I thought it was all right, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. Jesse, your guy won, so I'll throw it to you first.
Yeah, he's the right holder. You can unleash some like 2015 to 2019 Ricochet overseas and just magic's going to happen. It's going to be so fun. But I listened to your extra last night, and the character work the guy's doing is tremendous. If you are going to give somebody a traveling championship, let it be him, because he's earned this right. Like, in terms of 2025, there aren't many people that have elevated their games like that much from character perspective than Ricochet. So super excited there. As for the match, I'll try to keep this to the 20 seconds. I did not like all the lying around on the outside, peeking, waiting for their turns. What was it? The Hurt Syndicate, And as soon as like they both got in the ring, everybody just all of a sudden shot up and just got thrown around the ring. Didn't like that. And the very last thing I want to say is I think the only other guy I wanted to win that match, especially with how he opened it, was Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah.
How awesome he would be a tremendous, I think, AEW national champion. Let him travel the world and let him work his style. But that European uppercut he threw in the very beginning and how imposing he looked, I'm like, dude, give him the title. So congrats, Ricochet.
Yeah.
I actually love the Casino Gauntlet matches, but this one was a little bit more obvious in the guys just sitting around not doing anything. I legit forgot the Hurt Syndicate were in the match until they popped back up. That's not a good look. But generally, I do like that match. It's usually a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, after seeing, I was right there with you, Ryan's like, oh, fuck, another title. Jesus. I'm kind of over it at this point. But once I saw that belt, it's like every person that came out, it's like, ooh, I'd like to see them wearing that belt. You know, it's like, I thought orange, there it is. Oh, what a beaut. But, I was like, oh, Orange Cassidy would be a good one. And I was right there with you, Jesse. I was like, Claudio would be a fantastic national champion. I would love to see him with that title. And it kind of works. It worked in the same way as Ricochet. You get that heel traveling all over. But the match was fun and annoying simultaneously.
Here's what I'll say about, I said I'm usually not a fan. I think it's kind of overdone. You know, like they started out, it's called the Casino Gauntlet because it was like the Double or Nothing match. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's kind of become a crutch where they just kind of bring it out. I'd rather it be a little more special. So that's why I'm now when they announce it, I'm kind of like, oh, another one of those. Like it's kind of played out. You know, the rules where it can end any time and you never know when the competitors are done coming out. That's kind of interesting. But yeah, it just feels like it's kind of gotten played out over the years.
Back to the last couple of matches, I don't want to see thumbtacks. I don't want to see tables. I don't want to see barbed wire for months. I'm done.
Yeah. The thumbtacks have been overdone.
Yeah, forks. Don't want to see those forks either. John Moxley, you're not Abdul the Butcher.
Yeah. I mean, at some point you reach diminishing returns where you want to see something different. So yeah, those have definitely been the... I guess crutch for lack of a better word as when it comes to these violent matches, you always get the thumbtacks. Let's give it some time to breathe for sure. Where do we want to go next? We talked about the tag match, you know, the women's situation. We've said pretty much all the way through Tony and Mina are our picks to win that. I don't waver from that at all. The way that this tournament has developed, I don't really have any deep thoughts on that four-way tag. If you guys have anything you want to say on it.
You don't? I only have one thing. Yeah. I think with Tony and Mina winning last night, I think I telegraphed it. I'm going Megan Bain and Marina Shafir winning the AEW Women's Tag Team titles.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. I saw some speculation that Marina could be the person to turn on Moxley and kick him out of the Death Riders if he keeps losing, because there was this TV shot of her like kind of looking disgusted with him after he lost last night. I was going to bring that up, and I forgot.
Yeah, not only her, but... it was kind of from a distance, but Pac had a look, and then Claudio also looked a little annoyed as to what's going on. Again, you know, to our point, this entire show, it makes you want to tune in on Wednesday to see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Pac and Darby Allin. This was one I think everyone was pretty high on when they opened the show. Technically, they did the deal where, you know, the last match on the kickoff show or the tailgate brawl went into the opening of the show, which we said last month, I liked that when it happened because it was unique. Don't do it every month, though. This doesn't happen like every month. So they did it again. It's like, okay, it was unique last month. Well, this should not be a routine. So they did that again. But then the first full match was Pac and Darby Allin. And Justin, let me give you the floor here.
Look, man, we have to appreciate Darby while we got him, because he's a special, special in-ring talent, and the way he wrestles is incredibly unique to him and very dangerous, and probably won't make for a long in-ring career, at least at this level. And boy, you combine him with someone like Pac, and there's just no chance this isn't going to be good. Just zero chance with these two guys beating the ever-living crap out of each other. You know, that press slam from the apron down to the floor. My God. Darby's one of those guys. He's a Cactus Jack. You know, he's a Mick Foley with the way mm-hmm. he wrestles. And that's because when you watch his match, I think you will start to feel physically hurt just watching it.
Yeah.
Is it Jeremy who said he's 32 years old, Darby is?
I believe so, yeah.
That guy's going to have the body of a 45 to 50-year-old here in the next year or two if he keeps this going. I want all of these young wrestlers out there to watch Darby and Pac and Darby and Will Ospreay, because the transitions in those matches, that's how you make this style look. There were no interruptions. Everything just looked incredibly crisp. Like, I was glued to my television watching that. Pac has not had a horrible singles match on pay-per-view in 6 years. The guy is just test of time awesome. So that's the other guy I said, if you kick Moxley out of the group, you throw him into the world title picture, you let him go on a run, and he could be an opponent for Hangman as well. So there were a couple of opponents left, I think, for Hangman to go through the gauntlet. But like I said in the beginning, 1B for me in terms of favorite matches of the night, because, yeah, those two put on a clinic in the beginning of this show.
Yeah, if Moxley gets kicked out of the group, it'll be interesting to see who they would make the leader of the group. Would there be a leader of the group? Because you can make the argument for Pac, but also Claudio, I think, could be in that role too. So that's intriguing. Yeah, the match was just crazy. I don't know how this guy walks. You know, a press slam to the floor is just absolute insanity. I like the little details where, you know, Pac was like pulling off the bandages and scratching him. Mm-hmm. That was cool. When Allen was working from underneath, at one point the crowd was chanting, "You can't kill him." Amusing. Pac hits that big clothesline. Darby kicks out of that.
Yeah.
Great near fall. But yeah, I mean, I think in the end, based on the trajectory of the Death Riders, I think it was important to have Pac win. You know, you had the interference with Yuta and everything in the bat, but yeah, I think that was the right call. But the match was outstanding. When it comes to opening matches on AEW pay-per-views, this one's got to rank right up there.
Yeah, the finish did not bother me at all. You know, Pac is still kind of, you know, fresh on his return. You don't want him losing. Darby is at this point kind of bulletproof, but he is coming off of that big win against Moxley. So giving Pac the win, but with some shenanigans, was the right way to go.
Mm-hmm. 100%. What have we not? Well, we haven't talked really about the Bucks match, right? That's the only, I mean, we referenced Kenny a little bit. Basically, the story of that match was that, Alexander and the Bucks won, but then they did this post-match beatdown spot, and you get the Bucks and Kenny reuniting. As they fight off the Callis family. And some people were fans of it. Other people were not. I had no problem with this. The crowd really liked it. I think it makes sense to put those three back together. You know, they did all, kind of the way it was shot. They did all the tropes with, you know, should we go back? Should we not? After they're walking up the ramp, and they end up like throwing down the money bags and heading back to the ring to help out Kenny. The Bucks did. That's pro wrestling. That's how it's always done. I mean, it was fine. I thought the match was, again, pretty good. It was one, though, where the crowd response was hurting it a little bit. But I thought Kenny was outstanding in this match in particular. Feel free to jump in, either of you.
Yeah, I was pretty distracted during that match. I wasn't totally invested in it. The Elite reuniting doesn't bother me, but I don't really also care all that much. The Bucks and Kenny's melodramatics are a bit much for me sometimes, bit over the top. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. Again, it's one of those things where, like, of all the things that happen on the show, it's probably the thing I'm least curious about, you know, going forward. But there still is at least a little curiosity.
Yeah.
How are Nick and Matt going to support their families? They're broke. Don Callis took their money.
Yeah, no, that can't happen, right? It's on camera. You can't take their money. Arrest this man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Won the money. Come on.
Okay, that actually be a cool storyline on Wednesday to see. BS. Oh no, we're getting $333,333 each from you because you took it from us. We earned it. Yeah, that'd be a kind of a fun storyline to go with.
Maybe TK can show some security camera footage in the VAC again. Get the trolls online all upset. Where did Don Callis go with those money bags? We're going to show the security footage.
In a non-annoying way, the elite kind of reminds me of the Bloodline. It's like, yeah, we're reuniting again. Like, yeah, you've been doing this for 5-6 years. I'm
it's, cool. It's not the focus of the shows, like the Bloodline.
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean, for sure. It's one of those things that's kind of always there in the background.
Yeah, yeah. They're like story number 7 in this company right now after what we've just rolled through. So, yeah, that good for them. That means when they created this company, they've done their job. They've elevated talents from the start to get to a certain point to where now they're like kind of in the middle and background characters. Well done, E. Well done, boys. Well done.
You mean elevating talents, what you're supposed to do, not relying on the 45-year-olds? Is that the case?
Yeah, Kenny's 40. Matt Jackson's 40. Yeah, they're fine. We do have a 46-year-old champion right now, though. Yeah. So, but hopefully that, I'm sure in the next couple of months, somebody that's a little bit younger is going to take it.
I'm just thinking of that introduction message that Tim put in the Discord last night, because his profile picture is Hunter, and he wrote, "I'm Paul, like bottled water, hammers, shovels for ... elevating wrestlers." One of the great Tim Jensen lines of all time. That was pretty funny. I mean, again, imagine when AEW started, we'd be doing a show in a few years where the Elite is like the 7th storyline. Mm-hmm. That is a good thing. You know, it isn't the top focus of the TV shows. And Kenny is just one of those guys where I feel like right now, every time he actually works, I just want to appreciate being able to watch him wrestle, because we don't know how much longer he has. I mean, he's basically working a wrestle once a month schedule right now. I'm looking at his match history. You know, he worked Okada, obviously, at All In, and then he worked once in August at Forbidden Door, once in September on Dynamite, twice in October, I guess, 2 Dynamite matches, but they're tags. And then here at the end of November. So, you know, we're not getting him out there that much. So I always want to enjoy seeing Kenny Omega, you know, one of the greatest of this generation. And we'll see where the storyline takes him. But I'm just appreciating him while we have him. So, yeah, that's pretty much the show. I think we covered everything, didn't we?
We did. Selfishly, this will not happen. Hey, wouldn't mind throwing Kenny Omega in the C2. His body can't take it, though.
I know. Yeah, I wish. That'd be great.
That's the same. Maybe another reason I was a little bit bummed about Joe winning the world title is he once again will avoid going into the C2. He's someone I would have liked to seen in there.
Yeah. Anything else we got? We've got a couple of minutes. Anything else you guys want to throw out for the good of the cause before we wrap and get ready for, well, Justin's going to watch the end of the soccer game and Jesse.
Yeah, I'm pretty distracted right now, actually.
Yeah. I thought we could, going into today, I thought, you know, maybe if there's time, we could talk about the Tony and Ariel Helwani interview. I don't think we have time to really break it all down. It was fine. I thought Tony did a good job. They haven't been on the best of terms, obviously, those two, for years. And so because of that, AEW talent doesn't appear on the Helwani show. So this will probably open up the door to that.
I think the AEW talent that has been on the show in the last month is going to have opened the door to Tony coming back, because Darby Allin and Ricochet made appearances in the last month.
Yeah. I mean, there was like an edict for a while that I think nobody could go on the show because of how Tony felt when they had their kind of spat back and forth a couple of years ago. And yeah, now they've opened the doors. And now with Tony in studio, I'm not a huge fan of the interview style. I'll just say that. Like the way he was asking him the questions came off combative, but I thought that Tony did a good job in answering them. It's very rapid fire, kind of out of nowhere. Helwani's very successful, so I'm not gonna attack him personally. I just, me as a listener, it's kind of random when these questions just come out of right field. There wasn't a lot of flow to some of those questions, I felt. But he covered pretty much everything to his credit that people would want to hear. You know, like he brought up the stuff with Punk. You know, everyone knew he'd probably bring it up. He brought it up. Tony was a little more open in the way he answered the questions this time. The last time they had talked, and this kind of led to the heat between them, Tony kind of refused to answer stuff and Helwani got frustrated with him. He was more open in answering the questions this time.
Yeah, and he gave you a big hint on who's likely going to stay in the promotion and who's going to leave. Not directly, but I think just the way that he answered the questions.
He also made it seem like, really, the door is open for anybody to return to this company. You know, like he was, even the people that left, he's like, yeah, they did good stuff. You know, I wish we could have worked together longer kind of thing. And, you know, he acknowledged that Collision was kind of a deal to keep Punk in the company and it just didn't work out. And, you know, he thought they could still do business and that wasn't the case. And it's definitely worth the listen. I listened to the whole thing. I was entertained by it despite my nitpicks about the interview style.
Yeah. One other AEW note before I know, Ryan, you mentioned you bought the book. I listened to the audio version of the AEW book that just came out a couple of weeks ago. And I did enjoy it. I mean, it gave you just a kind of behind the scenes look. Yeah, it's a really cool cover and everything. So, yeah, I think if you're a pro wrestling fan, it's worth your read or worth your listen. I wouldn't put it in the top tier, but definitely just something that kept my attention for the, what was it, 4.5 hours that I listened.
Yeah, I mean, the way it is put together, just like the design and the photos and everything is really cool. Like it's almost like one of the, it has a lot of text for sure, but like if you can see that, just the layout in the book almost has that coffee table book kind of, you know, feel to it. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I've mostly been kind of piecing through it, but I enjoy the photography in it. I like the outline and the way it's set up and everything. So yeah, I'd say it's worth picking up personally if you can get it at a good price. I've enjoyed what I've read. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially this coming week with everybody and their uncle with sales and things, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, all the way to Cyber Monday. You can probably catch this at a pretty good price.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Punk is in here. If you're wondering, they don't like skip over that. I mean,
Cody
there's a whole page here on his feud with two pages with, MJF. It's all Punk and MJF there. So it's not like WWE where they erase history. You know, they don't do that. I mean, Punk's everything, all the Punk title stuff, it's all in here. So, I mean, there's more as you can see.
Yeah.
So that's cool, you know, to their credit. So yeah, I'd recommend picking it up personally if you're an AEW fan.
It's still nil-nil, Justin?
I paid for it, so.
Okay.
All right. Nice. We're going to roll. We got some football to watch. Jesse, I hope the Vikings can beat the Packers. That'd be nice. I'll be rooting for them.
Me too. The Packers have a tendency to play down and keep things interesting. Not that the Vikings are an awful team. They're just one of the most bizarre teams I've seen in a long time. They are capable of winning this game. I'm going to say Packers by 4. Watch me be wrong.
They're definitely capable of winning it. I think Green Bay is very tremendously overrated. I will say that. They're beatable for sure. I'll be watching the Spare Bears today. I thought Pittsburgh would be a very winnable game until the injury report started coming out this week. And six starters on the defense are not playing, including all three linebackers. And Pittsburgh goes to their tight ends a lot. So I'm not super confident in this game now. But
Mason Rudolph's behind center, though.
Has that been announced this morning?
I believe has.
Okay. I figured Rodgers would play. I don't think it really matters that much. Yeah, he is out. I see that. I mean, they go to Darnell Washington so much, who they're just going to be tossing it over the middle of the field, and our linebackers are probably not going to be able to cover. But at least it's a non-conference game if we lose. I didn't really want to lose to Aaron Rodgers again, so I guess I'm glad that he's not playing. I wanted to beat him. When I thought we were going to win, I was hoping he would be out there, but now I'm not so confident, so... We'll see. It does look like we might get Jalen Johnson back for the Eagles game next week, which should be huge. He's played one quarter this year. He's the best guy on our defense. So his recovery has been pretty miraculously fast. See what happens. All right, guys, there's our football talk. We kept it to the end of the show to not get you to tune out early. So if you like pro football, check out Bears Over Beers. I host that podcast Wednesday nights at Second City Gridiron.
And football for Justin.
Yes.
That's right.
Good luck to Tottenham, Justin.
Thank you. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, that's all we got. So this has been episode 402 of Top Rope Nation. Support us on Patreon. Jesse will have an unplugged drop in probably in the next few days. We got classics coming. You can listen to my extra from last night. All the good stuff. Join the Discord. Talked about that at the top of the show. And we will see you all next weekend. Hope you have a great week, everybody.
We in the money, my friend. Step on the horse in August. Watch the stampede fans that can't leave. They wonder why they stay rich.